The Maria Schrader film she said has just screened at the New York Film Festival, I will be seeing it this AM. The reviews are good if not great, and that will certainly help the film as it launches into the ecosphere of the Oscar race. The revolting Weinstein scandal are partly what launched the Me Too movement, although that really was born out of a hashtag on Twitter started by Tarana Burke, says Wikipedia, back in 2006. That matters only because it's the reason the two reporters who broke the Weinstein story can't claim credit for having launched the Me Too movement. But really, the Weinstein revelations kicked into gear a kind of mass moral panic that we're still living through today. In fact, our whole world has changed almost overnight. This film won't be able to separate itself from that, or from the legacy of Harvey Weinstein. But I'll write more about that after I actually see the film. The main point here is to parse a few macro concepts in our minds, like the considering which female director of two films about sexual assault is more likely to land in the best director race. The Los Angeles film critics have decided to go gender neutral for the acting categories, insert eye roll here. They will now face the additional self-inflicted worry about how to be fair, as they will have to twist themselves into pretzels to ensure their awards are equal and equitable across the board. Two white men, for instance, winning in their acting categories is a big non-starter. They will make sure that doesn't happen, while also making it seem like all things are neutral where gender is concerned. But they aren't now, they never have been, they never will be. Not in nature, not in society. All other categories besides acting have always been gender neutral, and it has been traditionally difficult for women to get into them, especially directing. Even if their movie isn't widely considered to be among the five best of the year, many people will still demand that a woman is at least represented. Then voters have to align around one name to make that happen. Sometimes that's easy, sometimes it's not so easy. It depends, as always, on the competition. No one wants now, or ever, for there to be no women in the best director race. That's true any year. It's been especially true since the Me Too movement began. There came a time, though, when voters made a decision to make it happen sooner rather than later. So, for the past 2 years, we've had two universally admired films directed by women winning Best Picture and two extraordinary women winning Best Director. So here's the problem this year. There are already three women vying for the Best Director race as far as I can tell. Sarah Polley, Women Talking Maria Schrader, She Said Chinani Chukwu, Till. And for their male counterparts, these are the strongest names in the mix right now. Steven Spielberg, The Fabelmans, Martin McDonagh, The Banshees of Inisherin, Todd Field, Tar, The Daniels, Everything Everywhere All at Once, Damien Chazelle, Babylon, Jim Cameron, Avatar, The Way of Water. And that's all before you get to Sam Mendes, Empire of Light, Ryan Johnson, Glass Onion, Joseph Kaczynski, Top Gun, Maverick, Baz Luhrmann, Elvis, Luca Guadagnino, Bones and All, Ruben Östlund, Triangle of Sadness, Edward Berger, All Quiet on the Western Front. As you can see, the visionary movies are directed by men, and the social justice-oriented films, at least in this year's slate, are directed by women. For a variety of complex reasons, men have cornered the market. The big canvas movies, the kinds of movies the Oscar voters, mostly male, tend to award in the best directing category. This is, simply, the reality. Add to that, in my humble, and often hated, opinion, there is always a kind of handicapping that goes on where women are concerned. Many critics and industry voters pull punches when it comes to their work, as though women aren't even capable of making great films at all, so let's just call it even and give them a pass. Patronizing, that's the word. But the problem is, no one can ever be a great director if expectations are already set so low. They can only be great if they are expected to meet the level of the greatest directors like men are. When Spielberg, Damien Chazelle, or Jim Cameron makes a movie, they are measured against the greatest directors of all time. But when women direct movies, some of us feel that opinions are softened somewhat because, in general, everyone wants to be encouraging and fair. It comes from a good place. But once you start pretending something good that isn't actually good, what's the point of handing out awards at all? Either way, it's still harder for women to place in the best director category, no matter what. Women can break through if they are well-liked, or have a high profile, or are the toast of the town. Right now, the closest thing we have to that is Sarah Polley for Women Talking, who will likely win the Adapted Screenplay Award, at the very least. But if she does get in the race, I think she has a great chance to win in the Best Director category because we've decoupled Best Picture from Best Director and because we're still riding a wave of wanting to award women, and because voters now, with the expanded ballot, like to spread the wealth, with the Best Director award often going to the person they think deserves to win, as opposed to, say, the movie they like best. Sometimes it's both. Women Talking was liked well enough to be the second place People's Choice winner in Toronto, right after The Fabelmans, which seems to indicate it has a strong chance of being a major player in the Oscar race. It's only October. Oscar voting doesn't even start until after Christmas. We are still so conditioned to measure this race right now, because we did that for so long. But think about all that could be coming to shift things around a lot. The midterm elections in November. Hollywood has become fused with politics now, so most casual observers can't even tell the difference anymore. Trades like Variety, Hollywood Reporter, and Deadline all report on Democratic politicians as though they were the celebrities, the ones who have crossed over, like the Obamas and Hillary Clinton. They also obsess about Trump because that has become the national pastime on the left overall. They seem unable to see anyone else or think about anyone else. I see Trump looming large over Hollywood, the Oscars, and American culture for quite some time, which means whatever madness we're locked into right now isn't going away anytime soon. Ordinarily, none of this would have much of an impact on the Oscars, but since the Oscar race, like almost all of the American culture, has migrated online, that means it's one big small town. It is unfortunate since it has simultaneously locked out a good majority of the American public. But that's the reality. Legitimate concerns about world war or Russian nuclear attack. Like, right? Who knew this is where we'd be 2 years into the Biden administration? But it is a possibility. And it's something to consider as we dance on the edge of a volcano and pretend like Rome isn't burning. Inflation, recession. Yes, this too is our coming fate in the next several months. Hollywood will eventually have to reconfigure itself, aka, stop gazing at its own navel, to start being a force for entertainment rather than an epicenter of activism, or else the peasants are going to revolt, loudly and dramatically by throwing tomatoes at them. It will be worse than people not showing up. They will be hated, like all aristocrats. We haven't gone through a double whammy of a pandemic and an economic catastrophe in a while. It didn't turn out well 100 years ago and it won't now. But Hollywood and the Oscars do have the option of remembering their entire point of existing, to entertain. That is always an option. All eyes on Avatar and Wakanda Forever. These two movies are aimed squarely at the end of the year and everyone is going to be watching to see whether they can blow it out at the box office. We are all expecting and hoping that they will, otherwise the only really profitable film this year will have been Top Gun, Maverick, as it barrels towards $750 million. At any rate, predicting the Oscars right now is tricky because of the times we're living through. They will change how people think and how they vote. For now, though, here are my own predictions, to be taken with a huge grain of salt. Best Picture. The Fabelmans, The Banshees of Inisherin, Everything Everywhere All at Once, Babylon, Tar, Women Talking, Avatar, The Way of Water, She Said, Elvis, Glass Onion. Alts, Top Gun, Maverick, The Sun, The Whale, Emancipation, Empire of Light, The Woman King. Best Director. Steven Spielberg, The Fabelmans, Martin McDonagh, The Banshees of Inisherin, Sarah Polley, Women Talking, Damien Chazelle, Babylon, Jim Cameron, Avatar, The Way of Water. Best Actor. Colin Farrell, The Banshees of Inisherin, Austin Butler, Elvis, Brendan Fraser, The Whale, Will Smith, Emancipation, Bill Nye, Living. Best Actress. Michelle Yeoh, Everything Everywhere All at Once, Kate Blanchett, Tar, Danielle Deadwyler, Till, Michelle Williams, The Fabelmans, Olivia Colman, Empire of Light. Supporting Actress. Jessie Buckley, Women Talking, Carrie Condon, The Banshees of Inisherin, Claire Foy, Women Talking, Margot Robbie, Babylon, Unless Lead, Janelle Monáe, Glass Onion. Supporting Actor. Brendan Gleeson, The Banshees of Inisherin, Paul Dano, The Fabelmans, Michael Ward, Empire of Light, Brad Pitt, Babylon, Barry Keoghan, The Banshees of Inisherin. Original Screenplay. The Banshees of Inisherin, The Fabelmans, Tar, Babylon, Empire of Light. Adapted Screenplay. Women Talking, She Said, Glass Onion, The Whale, The Sun. And that was all she wrote. Next time, we'll look at the contenders for SAG Ensemble. Share this, Twitter, Facebook, Reddit, WhatsApp, print.